This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show, which is a very different show than the Monday show, but nevertheless, it is the Chelsea Fancast. But it's our chance to kind of, well, you know, catch up with the news of the week in the Chelsea world, and then have a look ahead to the weekend's game, which, of course, this weekend is West Ham. Well, actually, it's on Monday night, but that's another story in itself. As always, we will have a guest from the opposition camp. And tonight it will be, actually, I'll ask him this when he comes on. I think he technically might be our boss because he works for Football Fancast, for Snack Media. But he does his own podcast called We Are West Ham, and his name is James Jones. And I think the last time I saw him, I was getting very, 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 very drunk with him at the Football Blogging Awards. But I'm not sure if that's just a hazy memory. Again, he may well know the answer to that one. Now
we have to touch the forelock, then, Chidge. Do we have to behave in an obsequious manner?
No, just
well, you and I can't touch our forelocks.
No, exactly.
Greatest respect. Good.
Nobody indeed, knows. Indeed. Nobody knows, Clayton. It's so radio.
Jonathan couldn't wait for me to introduce himself, so he's introduced himself, in fact. So, hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
How are you?
Fatigued, but in the moment.
Good, good. Clayton, the lovely Clayton Beam. I tell you, it's always a delight to see your face on the old Zoomage.
Your pate. I thought you were going to say.
No, it's always lovely to see him because Clayton has got a wonderfully calming demeanour.
Thank you. We've got good evening and hello.
Look, as always, Clayton, lovely to see you. Did you have fun with the Londonese Blue Boys? What did they call you? The Stepford Wives' Choice.
No, it was very funny, actually. I can't remember the exact term, but Brandon, when he was referring to my, the fact that I'd been going to Chelsea before they'd been born, he called me an elder.
Did he? You are.
An elder.
A founder.
A tribesman. Elder tribesman.
Yeah.
No, it was fun. They're good lads. It wasn't fun that they forgot to record it first time round, so we had to do it again.
No way.
Way.
No way.
And it's only because I'm such a lovely chappy.
Yeah.
I did it again. They're lovely.
Were you different
well.
In the second one? Now you knew what was going to happen.
No, it's a very weird experience because you're basically it was slightly different the second time round, but we all agreed the first time was much better.
Yeah. Oh well, there we go. I didn't know that. I hope you charge them double anyway, that's all I'm saying.
Yes, we do.
Right, so we've got to pick up on the news this week, which means we really do need to start with the Wolves game, which was utterly, utterly annoying and frustrating. I mean, goodness me. I mean, you know, Frank was pissed off afterwards in the presser, that was for sure, and I'm sure we all felt much the same. I think, you know, if I was to kick the ball rolling on this, for me, it was, poor game management. And again, Frank alluded to that, saying they knew they were going to be a counter-attack team. So why did you play to their strengths by giving the ball away in the last minute? I mean, it's very gutting, isn't it, to lose a game in the last minute, JK? I mean, I think that adds to the... It rubs salt in the wound, doesn't it, a bit?
Yeah, but we hadn't looked as if... we looked as if we might give the ball away in the last minute. It was a kind of sort of... there was an appalling inevitability about it. I know that, Clayton, you said, I think, on Twitter that it was, you know, this is Chelsea. You have to accept that. But I don't accept it. I think it was dreadful. And I think those last two games have been unbelievably poor.
No, I disagree with the Everton one. I think Everton were very good, but we were poor.
No, we talked about this. I disagree with you. So I think they were poor.
This
in
isn't London is Blue, mate. We don't get to do the show all over again.
I'm sorry.
I said, this is not London is Blue. We don't get to do the show all over again.
I thought we lived in an environment here on the Chelsea Fancast where I was allowed to disagree with you without you having saying no.
No, you can disagree with me, but I'm saying let's not relitigate the show that we litigated on Monday.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying that I thought we've had two dreadful performances. And you were saying that Everton were really good. Somebody even on Twitter said, no, Wolves are very good. And I said, I wonder what game you were watching. Wolves were dreadful. The fact that we lost to a side who were absolutely clueless and we should have taken them to the cleanest, but we were clueless. We didn't attempt any in exactly the same way as the Everton game. We made exactly the same mistakes. We didn't try anything through the middle. We just pumped high balls into the centre.
That is a fascinating point, actually, you know, and that I found, you know, particularly irritating, Clayton, because we did. I mean, having said we won't relitigate Monday's show, I'm now going to relitigate it, of course. But we were saying that it was really a bit of a stupid tactic, you know, crossing all the time for one striker, which was Giroud, when you were playing against four centre-backs. Now, we weren't playing against four centre-backs, but I thought again, you know, Nuno Espirito Santo is a very good manager in my book, and they've been playing at four of the back all season, which has apparently been, you know, a cause of some of their poor performances and results. He went back to three on Tuesday against us, which is what they were very successful with last season. So they must have learned from the Everton game, I think. And again, we were lumping balls into the box, and, you know, Giroud's not going to, you know, that's hard when you're on your own as a centre forward, when you're up against three centre backs, Clayton.
Yeah, I just sort of, I'm not going to disagree with Jonathan, but I'm going to disagree with Jonathan. We weren't poor in the first half against Wolves. We just weren't. We were much better than them. We basically created quite a few chances. I'd like to remind you that Olly Giroud missed an absolute open goal from a corner.
Yeah, so he did.
Zouma hit the crossbar. We were denied a penalty, which was baffling because it was a blatant handball and has been given in so many other games. It really wasn't talked about at all, but it basically hit the guy's hand. So we should have been leading at halftime. I thought it was a great improvement on Everton, because Everton, we were just a little bit off the pace. So, yeah, but what sort of happened was we scored and then we sat back, which we shouldn't do. We should never do. And then, in my opinion, the game was dreadfully mismanaged from the sidelines.
Okay.
One of the other things he seemed to get completely wrong was that clearly the Chilwell, Pulisic, Mount set up on the left worked excellently in the first half, and then he put Pulisic on the other side, and then it was and never stuck him back on the left again. So that and Pulisic disappeared.
Do you think that's not the players on the pitch who swap round? Do you think they're actually told?
He said so today in the presser.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear the presser today.
Yeah, yeah. And he made
did somebody ask him?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't. I didn't see it. I've just read up on it, and apparently he said that.
I just thought, yeah, I mean, I agree, but I just thought he got his, I won't say got his substitutions wrong. I just think they were made at the wrong times. And, you know, you could see, I mean, I know we're going to talk about Werner and Havertz, but you could see that Werner was very unhappy and having a dreadful game. And I would have hauled him off with about 10 minutes to go and put on Billy Gilmore to give us a little bit more, or even put on Jorginho to sit in front of the back four. I mean, Matthew Apson said when Wolves scored, nobody saw that coming. I think every single Chelsea fan saw it coming.
Did he really say that?
He said nobody saw that coming.
I must have missed that. That's outrageous. I mean, I think there were other factors too. I mean, I think my biggest concern was the poor game management. I've just written a piece for Football London, who will probably not put it up as usual. But that was a bit catty, wasn't it? Anyway, but it was all about the fact that, you know, linking into what Frank was saying about failing tests and the need to pass tests. And you know, it was interesting, wasn't it? Everton was a game we shouldn't have lost. We should have found a way to dig out at least a draw in that. But this was also a game that we, you know, that a point at Wolves would have been no disgrace, because they are a decent side, I think. But they should never have lost that match. It was criminal, you know, allowing them to get a breakaway goal in the last minute, knowing full well that that's what Wolves specialise in. I think there's a really interesting issue that you're both picking up on, which, you know, I think we will come back to when we preview the West Ham game. But there's a balance issue, you know. I mean, we had the issue with Havertz playing on the wing, which doesn't really work. You know, Werner can play on the wing and is quite happy to do so, but I do wonder in certain matches it's better to have, you know, his pace going through the middle, or actually more to the point, the balance that really, really worked was when we had Ziyech, Tammy in the middle, Werner on the left. And since Ziyech has been... I mean, maybe Ziyech is a much bigger player for us, JK, than we thought he was. He hasn't really played that much, but he has been impressive when he has played. And maybe he brings balance to it.
Yeah, I think he's excellent and he contributes. But I think there's something deeper than that going on, because Werner just wandered about.
Well, I think he's blowing out of his arse, as I think a lot of them were. That's another point I wanted to make, really. But they did look rather tired. There wasn't that kind of vim and vigour that you normally get.
I'd love that to be the reason. I'd love that to be the reason, Chidge. I just thought it was...
Oh, come on, JK. Just think back how many weeks ago, probably quite a few weeks, the two goals that Werner scored against Stoke.
Yeah, wonderful.
Stoke, Southampton.
No, that's my point.
Southampton.
He's wonderful. He's a wonderful player. But yeah, if he wanders about and doesn't do anything and just looks as if he's not interested, what are we supposed to think? Are we supposed to think that he's tired? I mean, tell me. I don't
frustrated.
Know.
Frustrated.
Is he tired? Is
I
he
don't
not,
know, but so, is, somebody is he... put this on Twitter, and I actually think it's a really, really valid point, that Werner's form has fallen off a cliff since Oli Giroud's been in the side.
Mm. Which is what he I'm was, saying. Tammy
yeah,
and him linked up really
well.
He was
much better with Tammy.
Yeah. Because they work better together.
But is that a personality thing? What
no,
is that?
No, it's a football thing, I think.
No, but it can't. It, surely, you as a player, you don't. You make an effort. You don't look. You don't. It's not a question of form. I mean, he's completely not involved. He's just. It's. You know, form is when somebody's involved. They get it. They get stuck in, and nothing happens. He hardly touched the ball. He didn't do anything. That's not form. Is that sulking? What is it? Is that? That's something else going on for me. That's not anything to do with...
Or maybe he hates Frank and he wants to leave or something.
No, but I'd like... Who knows? Perhaps you're right. Perhaps he hates
Giroud. Maybe he's shagged somebody else's girlfriend.
Yeah,
it's
indeed.
All
indeed
off in the dressing room.
Or maybe
QAnon have got into him or something.
Yeah, perhaps he's got some... Perhaps he's become... Perhaps he's had the vaccine.
Maybe he's been taken over by an alien life form.
You know, perhaps he's had the vaccine.
Support Spurs.
He's become Bill Gates. Perhaps it's that. I don't know.
But this is the quality stuff that everybody's paying for.
You don't get this anywhere
else.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't. But no, but seriously, I thought he wasn't involved. He hardly touched the ball. What's that about? You make yourself, you go and get the ball, don't you?
The reality is, you might, but the reality is everybody's different.
And I want him to as well.
No, mate, I've sulked on a football pitch. I mean, you know, the serious point I'm trying to make, JK, is that we don't really know and we can't know.
No, of course not.
But, you know, these players, you know, I've had this argument with you many, many times. They're not robots. Okay, they're professional sportsmen and they're elite and they're very good at what they do, but they are human. And we can't see that, you know, close up. So we don't know what's going on for them.
I'm allowed to comment on the fact that they play wonderfully and he plays wonderfully and runs the game. And then suddenly the team for two matches play like absolute idiots.
Personally, do you know what?
Rather than going top of the league, which we thought they were going to, and we prophesied, they've become a completely different team.
Personally, I think he's knackered and I think he's in a run of poor form, and it happens with strikers.
Okay, but with several others at the same time.
And that can happen too.
Okay.
I mean, well, you know, they had a bad day at the office on Saturday and Tuesday. I think there's no doubt about that. Let's move on because we've only got a few minutes, and I really do want to talk about the other big news of this week, which is obviously the Champions League draw, which we kind of got to. We couldn't really include it in on Monday's show because we had a lot to talk about. I have to say, bloody typical UEFA and their hot balls. I mean, I do think, Clayton, that this was the worst possible draw for us because I think they're a very good side. It's easy to think that they've faded a bit since, you know, they got to the Champions League final. But they're top of La Liga. They've lost once in 27 games there. The interesting thing is, mate, their Champions League form has not been as good as their La Liga form. They got walloped by Bayern Munich in their first match 4-0. They beat Salzburg 3-2 at home. And every other game was very classically Atletico Madrid. You know, there was a 1-1 draw. They drew 1-1 with Bayern at home. There was a 0-0 draw with Lokomotiv Moscow. And then they beat Salzburg 2-0. So not massively impressive in the Champions League. But, that's classic Atletico Madrid in a way, isn't it? Group stages, they did enough. They don't care. They'll fancy their chances against anybody. So I was a bit downhearted about that, but maybe we shouldn't really be as downhearted as I'm thinking. Maybe we're a match for anybody on our day when we turn up.
Well, I think that's a point when we turn up. It was the worst draw we could have got. They are exactly the team that we struggle against.
We beat them last time though.
We beat them away. That's correct.
And we drew at home.
We drew at home.
Group stages, though, not knockout.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Last time we played them would have been in the semi-final when they beat us.
3-1 at home, wasn't it?
In the knockout, yeah. Sir Mr. Costa, I believe, scored from the penalty spot that night.
He did indeed.
No, I think it's awful. But by the same token, you know, it's so difficult to predict. What is it? 3 months' time? 2.5 months' time?
I think Frank made that statement in one of the pressers. He said it's going to be will be a completely different team by then, as will they, he said.
Yeah, so I think it's impossible. I mean, you know, ultimately, yes, I would rather not have had them. But by the same token, you know, if we would have got, say, a Mönchengladbach and everybody said, oh, well, that's good, and sort of relaxed and thought, oh, we're through, and then taken them too lightly and then been knocked out. I think if we're going to win it, and we've got as good a chance as anybody, you know, we've got a really good squad, and it might be that sort of in 2-3 months' time, Havertz is playing out of his skin, Werner's back to his best. I mean, you have to look at it from their point of view. They won't exactly be jumping up and down that they got us either.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's occurred to me, and you mentioned this, Clayton, I think it's funny, isn't it? Because if this had come before the Everton match, I might not have thought this so much. But I think one of the areas, and this was very much the tenet of my article, actually, one of the areas where I think we have to improve, JK, I think the side that we've got have got an abundance of talent. That I think, you know, arguably they could be one of the most talented bunch of players we've seen at the club. But what they don't have is experience and nous. They don't know how to dig out a result. And I can see, you know, I think I described Atletico Madrid that, you know, if we can't beat, you know, if we succumb to a team like Everton who use every dirty trick in the book, Atletico Madrid are the Zen masters of that. And that's what worries me. They're gnarly old bastards and they'll do everything they can to win. And I think our group of players just haven't quite got the experience to really cope with that and dig a result out against teams like that.
Well, perhaps he might select those who are more gnarly for the fixture.
Who would that be in the squad? Tell me who that is, mate, because I don't know if we have him or not.
Dave,
yeah, Dave's been around the block. Silva, actually, you know, that his presence
Silva's
might be
nutty.
Really important, actually, for that.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a concern, certainly given how we got done over by Everton, I think.
Well, yeah, but that, I think that was also because we gave the first goal away through a ridiculous error.
What was it? A 0-0 draw won by a penalty.
Yeah, it was. And we hit the post.
I think there is. I mean, cover could be gnarly.
Yeah.
And there is
Kante.
Kante and Jorginho. I think, you know, there's a way to play against them. And we can play that way if we want to. But one of the things, and you talk about naivety, is it's been said for ages, we're not nasty enough. We haven't been nasty enough for a long time. But, you know, the Wolves goal, the winning goal, I was screaming at somebody to just haul him down.
Yeah.
And nobody did. And that, I don't know. Was there anybody close enough to do it?
You're right. Somebody, I think Zuma could have done. They mentioned that. They could have just basically taken him out. They mentioned that
he might have got sent off. Yeah, but at least we would have got a point.
But they mentioned that in the either in the post match discussion or it might have even been Matthew Upson, although I doubt it. We got to wrap this part up, unfortunately, because I've got the lovely James Jones waiting in the wings. But we will. In a minute, be talking about the Chelsea-West Ham game, but from the West Ham view with James Jones from We Are West Ham podcast.
Chich.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy, I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Right, welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast, a Friday night preview show with me and him over there. Look, he's honestly looks like a bit part from Minder tonight. JK.
Hello, mate. All right.
Yeah. How's your arrows?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Lovely. Yeah, I was on the other night.
I know. We were all watching it.
Yeah.
It actually made me want to go and buy the entire Minder box set, but maybe I'll wait. Clayton Beerman, and the lovely Clayton is with us as well.
Hello.
Good stuff. Now, I did promise you this. It is time for this.
The Opposition View.
And on the Opposition View this week, we have the lovely James Jones from We Are West Ham podcast. And I was talking to the lads beforehand, James, about the last time I saw you, and I thought it was, horribly drunk at the Football Blogging Awards in Manchester. We'd all been in the Etihad, or the Emptyhead Stadium, as I should call it. And you did actually clarify that for me. And, well, you did. You verified the fact that was the case, that I was horribly drunk with you at the Football Blogging Awards.
I wouldn't say you were horribly drunk.
I hide it well.
You,
You were nicely drunk. Nicely
James,
drunk.
Are you his boss? Because
oh, that's the other. That was boss. The other question, wasn't it? Technically, I think James is. He's your head of content at Snack Media, aren't you?
Deputy head of content. Deputy not quite head yet. I haven't quite knocked Martin off his perch yet, but I will do eventually.
Well, he's more senior than all of us, put it that way. So there you go. Now we've got that, obviously, the most important thing out of the way. Right, first up, James, really. I mean, West Ham are doing really, really well this season. And I know, because I've spoken to you about it before, and I've spoken to Will about it a lot, about Moyes and not hugely popular down at West Ham. But I don't know. I'm just going to ask you. You know, has the West Ham fans' opinion of Moyes changed because of how well you're doing, or are you still a bit meh?
I think that the general opinion has changed. It was only 3 months ago, probably at the beginning of the season, when you know the whole even before the beginning of the season, the whole Dean Garner sale and the everything that happened with that, and then losing our first two games of the season, that opening defeat to Newcastle kind of made everyone think, you know, this isn't going to work. Yeah, okay, he's kept us up twice, but he's not the man to take us forward. He's not the man to help fulfil the promises that the board have made over the last 4 or 5 years. But here we are, 3 or 4 months down the line and doing pretty well. And you look at any interview with any player and if you just look at the general feeling in and amongst the squad, it seems like the players are actually playing for him. They respect him and they want to do well as collectively and for him as well. So, and I think the fans are bought into that as well. The fans are bought into his ideas and what he's currently doing. So the general feeling is that it's Moyes in. But as we all know, football fans are fickle, and I think one or two defeats down the line and that might change very, very quickly. But we are enjoying it as things stand. We're loving it.
Well, I was going to say, James, as you well know, I've got a lot of mates, funnily enough, who I've been blessed, really, that I've got more West Ham mates than I have Spurs mates, and I'm kind of quite glad it's that way round, really. And it's perennially, whenever I've got drunk with them and had a chat with them about the football, they are the epitome of it's the hope that kills you type of club. You know, and even the chat what I was having with Will on WhatsApp the other day was, it won't last, it won't last, it never lasts at West Ham, you know, I've got a nosebleed, but it won't last. So, I mean, do you think, because Moyes kind of did this kind of a job with Everton, didn't he? I mean, he got a consistency out of them after a few years, he was getting them, he got them into the Champions League, you know, so maybe if you stuck with Moyes, he might do that, but I wouldn't imagine win the title, but he'll keep you there or thereabouts. Do you think it'll last?
At the moment, yes, I do. I think what happened before was that he didn't get the time. He got 6 months in his first stint and then got sacked off for a big name manager in Pellegrini, which didn't work. And then he was brought back. And I think the feeling now is that he's been given the time. He's been given the transfer window to really put his ideas into the squad, really bring a couple of his own players in. And a lot of people forget he kept us up twice with a squad that wasn't actually his, twice. And now he's building a squad that is actually his and ideas and tactics that are his. And I think it can last. And I hope it does. Obviously, everyone makes the comparison to Everton. Obviously, that was over a prolonged period of time. Whether he can do it over 5-6 years at West Ham, I think, remains to be seen. But the early signs are good, I think.
You've got some very good players at the moment. I think Suchek's excellent. I wonder what you think. So Bowen, who's really been a revelation for me. I thought Norwich coming into the Premier League, but he's been fantastic. And of course, Antonio, who I think is absolutely terrific. Antonio's a top striker. And in fact, he seemed to be played on the wing much more earlier on. The very fact now he plays through the middle completely bullies people nonstop.
Yeah, he's done it to us a few times.
He does. He's such a unit. And I think he's fantastic. So you've already got three players. You think, well, they'll scare anybody. They'll create chances.
Haller's goal the other night? Bloody hell.
Yeah. And Haller suddenly... I always feel he's slightly embarrassed. I always feel he doesn't really want to play for Hammers. But then he scores, you know. Well, he sort of looks like terribly self-effacing whenever he plays. He scores and he goes, I'm not sure I want to do that. But he was a class act in the Bundesliga. So... you just think, I've got some decent players. I'm not surprised at all. I've always thought Antonio was excellent, even when he was playing on the wing. And there were rumours that he was going to come and join Chelsea, but whatever, I think Chelsea were after anybody at the time, a few seasons ago. But now he seems absolutely to have found his niche. Top player, really top player.
He is, and David Moyes has completely changed him. into almost a utility player. I think he's played in every position barring centre back for us and goalkeeper. But up front under David Moyes, he's a completely different player. They've literally just announced that he's signed an extended contract in 2023 as well. And he's been superb. And him getting injured really worried us a little bit, because we were like, well, Haller's doesn't score consistently enough. He's out of confidence. You know, he doesn't really suit the system and the style of play that David Moyes wants. He is a superb player. And the two other players you mentioned, Suchek and Bowen, both David Moyes signings.
Yeah, what you said, he's creating his own side, definitely.
Completely changed it.
Yeah, Suchek looks really top. You know, you just wonder where some player comes in, you think, I've never heard of him. God, he's absolutely terrific. The headers he gets, really classy stuff, that.
But the jewel in the crown, of course, James, as we all know, is soon-to-be Chelsea player Declan Rice. What are you going to do when we have him in January, mate?
He's not going anywhere in January.
Look on your face was priceless.
Definitely not going. Definitely not going in January. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in the summer. But I wouldn't be surprised at all. But selling him in January would be, if the board haven't committed suicide already, they will do then. They just can't do it. It just won't happen.
Here's a question, though. I mean, and this kind of, I'll tie this in with another thing I was going to ask you, really, which is, because, you know, we all go back, as you can tell, actually, and you know, because you've known me for a while, but we're all quite old and we go back quite a long way. And matches against West Ham I've always loved the West Ham Chelsea derby, whether it's up there or over at our patch. They are a bit tasty. There is an edge to them, and I love that. But so I want to ask you about what it means from your perspective, the Chelsea-West Ham derby, but also, what on earth will West Ham fans think if Declan Rice upsticks and goes to Chelsea? I mean, they're not very pleased with the club at the best of times. I mean, there'll be a riot, won't there?
I don't think there'll be as much of a riot in comparison to, say, when Frank Lampard or Joe Cole, more so Frank Lampard, when he moved from West Ham to Chelsea. I think
What about Scott Cannon?
I think this is a completely different level.
I've got to show you that. Have you seen that? That's better. That's a sticker. You like that? You like that?
Love that. Love that. Proved a lot of people wrong, hasn't he?
He certainly did.
So, I mean, I think a lot of fans have, they've resigned themselves to the fact that he will go back to Chelsea eventually. It's well documented. It even come out today that his dad's a big Chelsea fan. He's a Chelsea fan. Was there when he was 8, 9, 10 years old. So I think we're resigned to the fact that when he does leave, it probably will be Chelsea. And I think that will probably dilute the outrage a little bit and the fans being a little bit upset about it, because he can't stay with us forever. Not because he's just such a class act.
He's that good.
But yeah, he is that good. He's brilliant. And we've seen him go from, you know, making mistakes in the first team in Moyes' first stint, and Moyes hanging him out to dry in public, and a lot of fans going, he's probably not gonna last, to now being, you know, he's not noble of the starting 11, got the armband, starting every time for England, and he's just getting better with every game, and we've seen his development. It's almost been quicker than anyone even imagined. So he's a class act, and he's fast becoming too big for West Ham, which sounds really weird to say, but if we don't progress, then he's going to have to.
That's very honest of you, James, I have to say. So what about the derby then? What does it mean to you?
To me personally, I mean, I put it up there alongside the rivalry that we have with Spurs.
You want to win.
It's the one we want to win. Probably a little bit less than the one against Spurs. Yeah.
Well, everybody hates Spurs, James.
Everybody hates Spurs, yeah. But I think a lot of my mates go, you know, we want to win any London derby. Any London derby counts. And that's true in some ways. But I think when it comes to the bigger London clubs for West Ham, I think they're the ones that we desperately want to win, because they're, you know, the likes of Chelsea, Spurs used to be Arsenal, not anymore. But when, you know, they're competing for trophies, competing for the league and stuff like that, that's where we want to be. You know, we aspire to be there. Never have been there, but we still aspire to be there. So we want to beat those clubs because, you know, they're almost the benchmark for us in London. So I definitely love playing Chelsea, and I know a lot of other West Ham fans do as well. So it's definitely Monday night's definitely one that don't really want to lose it.
Yeah, I can understand that. So how do you think it's going to go then?
I think given the form of both sides, I think we've got a chance. Obviously, we won there last year against all odds, really, and especially with David Martin in goal.
Do you remember? Jesus.
stronger squad this year, in better form this year. I fancy us to get a chance. I think if we come away with a point, I'd take it all day long. Mm. But yeah, I think if we play the way we have been doing over the last few weeks, particularly with the likes of Benrahma and his flair, with Bowen causing problems down that right-hand side. And if Antonio's fit, but it probably will be Haller again with Antonio off the bench. Now he's going to cause problems, as we've already said. So I'm quietly confident, but I'm not over as confident as perhaps I should be.
Well, we normally play you when we're playing really well, and you beat us, and it's always one is in despair because we normally play as badly as we've just played against.
Was it not last season where we were on our winning run?
Yeah, we were exactly. We'd won seven games
in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
You limped in there with a standing goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We pummeled you for 90 minutes and you won 1-0. Yeah.
But not, which is unusual because normally, and this is the thing that really pisses most Chelsea supporters off about West Ham, James, whenever we play West Ham, you can be absolutely shit and then you play against us and you look like 1970 Brazil.
Yeah.
You can guarantee it, mate.
Whereas in this instance, you're playing really well and we're now playing like shit. So I think we'll win easily.
But it's true to
say, it wouldn't surprise me.
Was it the season where Spurs almost won the league and didn't? We did them and you did them. I haven't got a problem with West Ham. I really haven't. And I don't know why that is. Perhaps because a child of the 70s, and I loved watching West Ham.
Come on, Clayton, they won the World Cup for us. We've got
to
love them
for
that.
But they've always been an entertaining side to a certain extent. I know you don't want to hear this. I know you want us to hate you. But I've basically never had a major problem with West Ham, apart from the fact you keep beating us.
You never chased round Upton Park by anybody?
Oh, of course I was. Yeah,
of course you were.
It's
okay.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It was absolutely.
Me on several occasions.
Clayton was going, chase me.
It wasn't.
No, but I mean, the chicken run and all the rest of that. Oh my God.
One bloke singled me out for the whole game when I was standing there to just constantly slit his throat all the way through.
He was saying, I hated you in Minder, he was saying.
That's what he was saying. He was just going, oh, you, cut. Excuse me, I can't say that word. Oh, you. And 90 minutes with his kid next to him, and his kid joined in. His kid was about 10.
West
I kept
Ham
saying,
you,
"Watch the game, watch the game, mate, watch the game."
You get none of that in Stratford now. They're just offering some popcorn.
I know you don't. I know. Yeah, not that I missed that.
Popcorn and a craft beer, mate.
I love the ground. I just love it. I love it. But
what you love the new ground?
Well, I love the Olympic Stadium.
Oh,
I love
get
it.
Out of here.
No, but excuse me. Let me finish. Let me actually allow me to say what I was going to say. I love it as a stadium. As a home stadium for fans, it's probably a disaster. But it is. It is. But for, you know, aesthetically, you look at it and you go, God, this is great. The Olympics was held here. Wow, look at that. Oh, look at that fact. But you're too far away. And I was peering into the distance. It was bits of it were like watching at Stamford Bridge before the redevelopment. Yeah. You know, it's that aspect.
It's a good point.
But
though,
yeah, but I love it as a stadium. So am I allowed to say that, Chidge? I love it.
No.
I went there every time I've been there.
It's
I've
on
got,
the banned oh, list, mate. Oh, you know that. It's on the banned,
on the banned, list.
Banned words, banned phrases, banned opinions list.
What, B-A-N-D?
The one I send round to you before every show. You know that one?
Oh, was I not supposed to have said that? I'm so sorry. No. Oh, God.
It's all right. We'll forgive you because it's you. James, before this show completely descends into farce, this normally happens, by the way. This is peak Chelsea Fancast, mate. It's what we do. But, yeah, so, I mean, I get where you're coming from. So, if I was in your shoes, I would be feeling more confident, I think. But I do get where you're coming from. These games throw up some odd results, don't they? Let's get a prediction out of you.
I'm going to go, I think on our show, I went 1-1, I believe. So I'm going to go with 1-1 again. I'm going to stick to my guns. 1-1. I think that'd be, I'll take that now.
I've got one more thing to have a go at you about, actually, because we've been doing this brilliant thing called the Prem Predictions League, right? A lot of us are involved on the Fancast. And obviously you have to predict the score for every Premier League game. And last year we did something with Who Knows Wins, which is like a betting app. And we had to predict a win, lose or a draw. And me and a few mates, there's a couple of them listening live in Mixlr tonight. Bloody West Ham, mate. Every week I would predict them. If I predicted them to win, they'd get thumped. If I predicted a draw, they'd win. If I predicted a loss, every week they would let me down. And I'm holding you personally responsible for this, James. So,
mate, that is the... Everyone talks about the West Ham way. That's the West Ham way. There is, the West Ham way has got nothing to do with style of football or anything like that. It's winning when we shouldn't win and losing when we should win. So, yeah.
Can I just say, Chidge, you wrote down here, what does this derby mean to Wham fans? Wake me up before you go-go. But no, he meant West Ham. He just didn't put a full stop in
it. I didn't actually see that. I know. That's very good.
I looked at it and thought, God, what did they support? What? What's that? Oh, no, I see. It's West Ham.
They got Andrew Ridgeley on the bench, mate. Sorry, James.
It was wake me up before you go-go under Allardyce, to be fair.
Fair enough.
God, absolutely.
James,
should we have a minute silence for West Brom fans?
West Brom.
yeah, bless them. James, as always, you've been brilliant. Thanks for coming along and giving us your opposition view. I very much look forward to the time when I can actually meet you for a beer. It's been far too long, mate.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure, guys, and I look forward to that as well, mate.
Lovely stuff. Say hello to all the Snack Media people for me, and we will see you again soon. Take care, mate. Cheers.
All the best. Good luck.
Thanks, James.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas.
And to you, indeed. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Well remembered, Jake. I always forget this time of year. So there you go. That was James Jones from We Are West Ham podcast. He's an old mate. And I think it's true, we've all got a bit of a soft spot for West Ham. I know we're not supposed to say
that. No, we haven't.
Okay, me and Clayton have got a bit of a soft spot for West Ham. I know we're not supposed to say that. Anybody who was in the shed end in 1984 would probably drum. Was it 84?
It was quite funny. The wonderful James who posts all these amazing videos from games.
Yeah, I know him. He's brilliant, isn't he?
He posted one from, I can't remember what season it was, but we won 2-1 midweek. It was a season where we got gubbed by them 4-0 at home and then lost to over Easter and then lost to QPR 6-0. And it was a season that West Ham came really close to winning the league. But we went there on a Wednesday night and we won 2-1. The aerially challenged Pat Nevin heading in a Kerry Dixon cross to win it. But I was just recounting to my mates, because we basically stood in their north bank, because that was the safest place to be, is to stand with all the West Ham fans. And I remember when Nevin scored the winner, I went, yeah, bastard, bastard. And I remember when we were leaving, people were mumbling under their breath, they're bloody Chelsea fans, they are.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I had a similar experience with Martin Levy back in the day, but there you go. Brilliant. Right, we're going to have a quick break, and then when we come back, it's going to be our turn to have a look ahead to the West Ham-Chelsea match on Monday night.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Right, welcome back. This is Stamford Chidge, and I've got the efficacious Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
I was going to say effervescent just then, actually.
I think you are efficacious, mate. You make me feel better every Friday and Monday.
Oh, thank you very much.
You do, your little face coming, staring out at me from Zoom.
Your little face in the grass. Face in the grass.
There you go.
Snake in the grass. Face in the grass.
So there we go. Got Jonathan Kidd, the absolute legend that is Jonathan Kidd. I'm really just his bag man on this show. Everybody knows it. He's everybody's favourite. I mean, it's, you know, fair play. He's the housewife's choice. He's everybody's favourite. We love having him on the show. We've got the lovely Clayton Beerman with us.
Hello.
Right, so it's our turn now to have a think. My first question for you, for the panel tonight, I'll go with you first, Clayton. Is this a must-win match or a must-not-lose?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we need to win it, but what I do think we need to do is I think we need to look like the team that played against Leeds again. I know it's going to be difficult because West Ham don't play particularly expansive football, to say the least. I don't know. I think we're just looking for us again. This season has got horrible sort of similarities to last season. We went on that long winning run, and then we lost a couple of games and sort of lost our way a bit. So I'm just hoping. It was interesting you mentioned Ziyech, because it looks like we are really missing him.
Yeah. Balance, mate.
Yeah, and I think that's 100% right. Now, I know that Frank said that both he and Callum were back training again. But I don't... From what Frank said, it didn't seem to be confident that either one would start. They'd probably both be on the bench. But I do think having Ziyech back would be a huge help. I really do.
It's interesting, isn't it? You call him Ziyech. We both call him Ziyech, and you called Odoi Callum. So somehow there's a kind of intimacy with Callum that we don't have with Ziyech, and yet Ziyech is...
Oh, that's because Callum's a homegrown and Ziyech has been bought in. No,
Hudson-Odoi is also a mouthful.
No idea.
And but I just like calling him Odoi. Callum is a kind of...
That's because you went to a school where everybody got called by their surname. Odoi, I'm here!
Ba-dum-tush.
Absolutely right. Yes, even now, still, somebody phoned me up the other day and said, "Oh, kid, did you know that Mackenzie had died? Did you know that Mackenzie?" Kid, you know, he said, "Did you know that Mackenzie had died?" I said, "I don't give a fuck." I said, "He was a turd." "Oh, okay, oh, then. God. Thanks. Bye-bye." Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that story. It's revealed far too much about me. I think Ziyech is wonderful, but I really hope we don't have to completely rely on... Well, perhaps it was the fact that Havertz was just play when he played on the wing, seemed to pass, constantly deliver half passes. You could see James getting unbelievably upset with him, that he seems not to deliver correct, crisp passing to in areas where he's made the space and he then just either lays it off. I don't know what's happening with them both, with both German players at the moment. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think the Havertz thing, I think, not saying you, but I think there's been a gross overreaction. If you just recall, before he had COVID, he was looking fantastic. He really was. And he looked, I think Burnley was his last game before he was taken ill. And he looked really, really good. And since he's come back, he's looked awful. And I don't think you can underestimate the damage that COVID's done, to be perfectly honest.
But really, but then why select him, Clayton? Why does Frank select him?
Well, because we haven't got anybody else at the moment. I mean, if you've got Ziyech, Hudson-Odoi and Pulisic were all out. I personally would have played Kovacic ahead of him on Wednesday or Tuesday night.
Rather than put him on the wing, why didn't he play Angerin?
Yeah.
If they think he's actually...
Well, I don't know if you saw any of... there's no reason why you should have done. But Chelsea under-23s beat Man United under-23s 6-1 and Angerin played. And it's quite interesting because the remark about Angerin was exactly what people were saying about Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Cheeky to his friends.
The fact that he's now outgrown the under-23s. You know, he looks like a school bully. He looks like the guy in the playground who's bigger than everybody else. And he just looks too good for that, which is what they were saying about Callum. So whether he's good enough for the Premier League, I don't know. I thought he played pretty well on his debut.
Yeah, he did all right, didn't he? I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I think it's so difficult for us, particularly us, actually, because we've been watching football for such a long time. So therefore, we're a bit more, you know, kind of wedded to certain things, perhaps. And the reality is this season is very different from any other season because of the frequency. It's like playing in the Championship, which, you know, we know is very, very arduous. You've got COVID floating around. We don't quite know what the impact on these players is going to be. We know that there's lots of kind of soft tissue injuries that are developing. And of course, we spend our lives on these bloody shows, don't we? Making suppositions about stuff that we cannot possibly know about because we're not there, which is very frustrating. But I think the evidence for all of this, JK, is in how absolutely Billy Bonkers this league is. I mean, this time last year, Liverpool damn near won the thing. But this year, I mean, if we win on Monday, I mean, I know everything will have changed. So if everybody plays at the same time right now, if we won, we could go third. If we lose, we could go 11th.
And if we lose again, we could be in the relegation.
Well, I mean, yeah, but then you win a couple of games and you're in the top four
again.
Up again.
I know, so it's crazy. I think possibly we're overreacting. But once again, I'm reacting as if I'm nine again. You know, I just want them to.
What do you mean? You always do that, mate, don't you?
I know. Every time I do as well. You can look at the graph. You know, I think they're wonderful. They're playing wonderfully. I predict huge scores.
You said we weren't going to lose a game 3 weeks
ago. Yeah, exactly. I said that. I said I thought they could beat all of them. I thought they could have beaten all these.
I think they're good enough to do it.
They should have done. And they are good enough. So, but I don't therefore know what team is going to turn up, which is exactly the same problem we had last year.
Yeah.
We just didn't know.
I do think, I mean, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, Frank made an excellent point, as he often does, you know, in these post-match presses. You know, he does tend to speak in facts, I think, most of the time. But whilst it is true to say that there are players, I mean, God, we've got a World Cup winner in the squad in Kante. We've got a Champions League. I think, I'm not sure if Silva's won the Champions League, but he's won pretty much everything in the game. You know, we have got some very experienced winning players, but we've still got a lot of very inexperienced players. And Frank was making that point. We've got players that have been out on loan recently, players that have been playing in the Championship. And I do think it's this mentality thing. And, you know, we mentioned it on Monday, didn't we, JK? Clayton wasn't with us then, of course, but I mentioned that Blackburn game in 2005, which was a real rites of passage game for that team, where they got the shit kicked out of them. And, you know, Blackburn threw the kitchen. Blackburn didn't sit there trying to defend. They threw the kitchen sink at us. But they found a way. They found a way to get through it and win. And I think this team needs a match like that, needs a result like that.
It hasn't got it yet, but it hasn't. This team hasn't got it yet.
Well, they haven't, but that's what they're going to have to do if they're going to win a title.
Win a title, absolutely agree with you.
Absolutely. But they've got the skill. I've got no doubt about that and the huge potential, but that's what's missing for me at the moment. All right, enough of all that malarkey. Clayton, who's going to start for you? I think you kind of tipped us a wink a minute ago, didn't you, really?
Well, I think it depends on the... So the defence picks itself, midfield obviously Kante and Mount. I would probably go with Kovacic because I think they're going to be midfield heavy. Depends if Ziyech is fit, I'd pick him. I'd actually pick Werner and I'd pick Abrahams because I have to say, and I know that he hasn't had the service and I know that he scored a goal against Wolves, I actually think that Oli Giroud has been a bit meh the last two games. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not 100% sure that Abrahams has looked any good when he's come on. But I would mix it about a bit because it's obvious that what we've got at the moment's not working. So go back to something that did work at the beginning of the season.
I thought that that Giroud revealed the fragility of his performances. He can score great goals. I thought the goal he scored against Wolves was great, mind you. He can score that.
But he's a great goal scorer.
He is a great goal scorer. And I wish he'd got that header early on. But he was completely, as I said last week, he was completely in Mina's pocket. And Mina is a, you know, Colombian World Cup player. And he struggled a bit because he was under pressure. And I thought Frank should have reacted sooner in both games and taken him off earlier.
I agree.
But at the moment, for me, Abraham isn't the answer. I think he should have shifted it around and put Werner in the middle and he's given him an opportunity to actually figure.
Which you can do if you've got two fit wingers. And I think we're underestimating how big a problem it is not having fit wingers at the moment.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, as I say, if Havertz is so affected by COVID, which is absolutely possible, once again, we're speculating, then give Angerin a go because he in the Krasnodar game he wasn't taking people on but he still looked an enormous unit. He looked, you know, but I think
one of the problems that you've got is the fact that questions will be asked of Frank. You know, you spent 89 million on Havertz. Yeah. Why is a kid playing?
But he could legitimately say he's not recovered from COVID.
Yeah, maybe.
And I do think that that's the case. I mean, it's not, I don't think, you know, because we had a right old ding dong about it on Monday, didn't we, as I recall, JK? But I don't think it's just COVID, because I think JK actually makes a very salient point. If he's not fit, then he wouldn't be in the team. You know, they're not idiots at the club, you know. And it's far more scientific than it ever used to be. So you can't kind of hoodwink the manager and say, I'm all right, Gaffer, I'm fit, I'm all right. And then your hamstring pings after 1 minute, you know. It's very, very scientific. But I think it's a lack of match sharpness. You know, he was laying in bed for 10 days and he needs to get back up to pace. I think he's struggling with the pace of the Premier League and adjusting to that anyway, even though we've seen some good performances from him. So I think it will take time for Havertz. But I do think it's a problem with the wingers at the moment, because we don't have fit wingers. And I think that's affected the balance of the side hugely. And I think essentially, you know, we know why Werner has been playing on the left. Werner's been playing on the left because Pulisic has been unavailable for most of the season. I do think that it worked quite well, actually. I mean, that was the genesis. I mean, everybody was raving about, oh, we've put Kante back in the middle and Mount's playing as a number eight and Havertz is a genius and he's silky smooth. I can't think what Plonker said that. Oh, it was me. He's playing in a number eight as well. It's all great, you know. But actually, I think one of the things that made the entire system work very, very well was the way that Tammy Abraham, who's very energetic, very pacey, puts himself about, but the way that he linked up and made space for Werner to cut in. I thought that they worked very well together in a way that I don't think it works quite so well with Giroud and Werner.
There's two speedy forwards running at a defence.
Yeah, definitely. But also with Tammy, I mean, I know he's not the finished article yet. I'm the first to say that. But, you know, he is fast, so he can get on the shoulder of a defender. But he's also a big bloke. He's well over 6 foot, so he can be a nuisance as well. And he can play like a traditional number nine, which is to lay a ball off to somebody running onto it like Werner. So I think that they work very well together, and I think that that was one of the reasons why we look so good. Like you, Clayton, I think most of the team picks itself. The defence, certainly. Mendy, Chilwell, Zuma, Silva, James. If Havertz is not right, you know, if he's not in form, given that I never answered the question I posed, actually, I think this is a must-not-lose game, I'll be honest with you. I think if you've lost two off the bounce, you cannot lose the next one. I mean, you need to not lose the game. The next thing you want is a performance. The next thing you want is a win. So much as I always love to win, especially against West Ham, I think, you know, they need to get some confidence back. So does he risk Havertz if Havertz isn't quite at it yet? You know, I mean, I'd be perfectly happy to see Kovacic, Kante, Mount. They can play very well in that three. I would be perfectly happy to see Billy Gilmore, Kante, Mount in that three, to be honest, because I think Gilmore's a super player. If Pulisic is fit, which I think we know that he is, then he's an automatic pick on the left. And that then causes a problem, because Werner will play on the left but is perhaps not so good on the right. Do you want to play him in the middle when you haven't got another winger? It gets complicated. It really, really does.
Or do you play Werner on the right? But he tried to play him on the right during the week and he was non-existent.
Didn't work at all, did it?
Didn't work at all, no.
You know, I mean, Pulisic is clearly much better on the left, but I'm sure he can play on the right. I mean, maybe that's what he'll do. Maybe he'll go Werner left, Abraham in the middle, Pulisic on the right. And of course, you know, it's the modern thing, isn't it? They do switch all the time. And we've seen this for years and years and years. That's what the wingers do. So I don't see why they shouldn't do that. I think that would be the best 11 for me of what's available. I'm presuming that Ziyech and your mate Odoi are not available, JK.
Frank is very good, though, at not putting players back in if they've been injured. He puts them on the bench. It seems to be quite a regular thing for him.
Yeah, I agree.
It wouldn't surprise me if Ziyech doesn't start, but he may be forced to. He may start with Havertz, knowing that he's going to take him off.
I mean, the really bold move, which is, I mean, I think I forget now because I've got a brain like a goldfish. One of you, it might be new Clayton, saying, "Well, why not give Andrew in a go?" I mean, that
me? Thank you.
Anybody would have thought I did that on purpose, wouldn't you? I did it innocently. Honestly, I did, but. That would be a really bold move, wouldn't it? And then you have Pulisic on the left, you have Werner in the middle, and you have Andrew in on the right. I just don't think Frank's just not a risk taker.
I think from what you said before, this is a must not lose game, and I think picking Andrew is too much of a risk.
I agree, chaps. So I think it'll be very interesting. It is a conundrum, and it is a conundrum, as we've said, caused really by the fact that we just don't have, you know, two fit wingers, and I think that's what's causing us a problem. As Daryl says, my dear mate Daryl says, who'd be a football manager? Well, we all say we'd like to, but I think the reality is probably quite different. And I can prove that in a minute when I reveal the positions in the Premier League predictions table. But before we do that, we need...
Stop humiliating me.
I know you have no shame, so therefore I have no guilt. But before we do that, we need our predictions for this one, really, JK. So what are you going? 5-0 again?
Toto.
A Desmond.
Exactly.
Okay, 2-2. I think that's not a bad shout, actually. Clayton?
Same as James, 1-1.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I know I don't like... I mean, I haven't actually done my predictions yet, but I think I'm erring on the side that... I think West Ham are a decent side, you know. And I think we can't lose this game, so I'm going to go 1-1 with Clayton. But I think 2-2 is equally a good shout. But I've got no idea what I'm going to pick tomorrow. But there you go. Well, that's what we think. Now, as I promised you all, the Prem Predictions League. Jonathan's favourite pastime of a week. What happened to you this weekend, JK? For fuck's sake, minus 60? What are you doing, man?
Really? Is that what happened?
You got minus 60. I mean, I have to... There's a caveat on this. This was a very difficult week. Nobody ran away with it. But you got the worst result of everybody. Minus 60, mate. What happened?
No, once again, my prejudice is I won't allow Leeds ever to. Leeds always lose. I never give Spurs a result because I don't like them. Perhaps I'm not the man to be doing this league.
But I love having you in there. Anyway...
Just so we can have this same conversation.
No, it gives me no pleasure. Honestly, it gives me no pleasure to see you doing a Sheffield United, mate, frankly. Yeah,
that's
anyway.
Good point, actually. I think I said Sheffield United would win. I think that was foolish.
It was saying they would win 10-0 that might have had a bit of an impact, wouldn't it? Well, anyway, I've already done the big reveal. Jonathan sits a bottom of the table in 31st position, having got minus 60. Tony Glover got 63 points, but he's still in 29th. I'm reading the fact there's a league within the league, Clayton, as I'm no doubt you would have figured out. There's the Chelsea Fancast is in the league, and then there's everybody else. But Mark Meehan is in 21st. Dane Whittle, Dane is schizophrenic when it comes to this league. He's shit or bust. He's got more spot... No, he's the second in the table for spot-ons, getting the prediction right, and you get 50 points for that. But he's in 19th because he either gets it spot on or horribly wrong. But he did all right. He had a good week this week. Martin, well, here's the big news of this week. I can't believe this. The big news of this week is me. I was in 21st place, but I have shot up to equal 14th with Martin Wickham because I got 81 points. And do you know why, JK?
Tell me.
I did it again. I got the bonus club right. I said Sheffield United would score the quickest goal. And you know how I did that?
With a pin.
Exactly. That's 2 weeks in a row. I've literally stuck a pin in it because there's no point taking it seriously. And both weeks I've walked away with the bonus points.
Shall I try that?
Might as well. Works for me.
I'm going to try it this week.
So there you go. So I'm now basically in the Fancast mini table, mini league. I'm second to Marco. Marco's in 12th. But a lot of people had shockers this weekend. But one person who didn't, our performer of the week, is the lovely Bert Stoltz, who got exactly 100 points, and he shot up the table to 20th. The absolute genius that is Joe Mingola is still on top of the table, JK. I don't know how he's been there the whole season.
How does he manage that?
I don't know, because he had a shocker this week. He got 22 points, which is pretty poor. You know, I mean, and he's still there. He's still at the top. He's hanging on there. Fair play. Joe, you're a legend, mate. And Bert, well done you. And I shall pat myself on the back a bit as well. All I really care about is finishing top of the Chelsea Fancast mini league. And then I will be
happy. Where am I in terms of the world? Am I still bottom?
I don't look.
Okay, thank you.
I don't look. There's got to be people doing worse than you. I will check.
If I make every result 2-1, tomorrow. Do you think that might give me a chance of winning a few points?
Well, it might do. I've been a bit erring on the side of caution, and because you see, you lose points for every goal that you get wrong. So if you say somebody's going to wallop somebody 5-1 and they draw 1-1, you lose a stack of points. So 2-1s are not a bad way to go, actually.
Okay, I might just do that.
A little bit of... I wouldn't take any advice from me, mate, because basically my performance this season has been beyond shocking. Do you know what? I'm going to have my moment in the sun here. I've actually scored more points in December than anybody else. If the league was just December, I'd be top. So I've had an absolute belter this month, but that just shows you how piss poor the other months have been, really. But there you go. And on that brilliant note, I think it's time for us to wrap up. A quick shout out for all the people in Mixlr who've been listening live. Love you to pieces for doing that on a Friday, keeping us company. Clayton, dear boy, are you going to be going to the virtual pub in a minute?
No.
I will be. What a shame you won't be there. But it's been lovely to see you tonight. We'll see you again on Tuesday, I believe.
You will.
Double dose of Clayton. Aren't we lucky? You can say yes.
Hooray!
It is allowed.
Yes.
So we'll see you on Tuesday, Clayton. I'm looking forward to that already. JK?
I will be in, what's the word?
Malaga?
Bermuda?
No, I won't. No, I will be in whatever that word is when you finish school for the end of term for Christmas.
D-mob happy.
I'm D-mob happy. That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So your last day on Tuesday?
It is.
Oh, good on you, mate. Great stuff. Well, look, have a cracking weekend. Enjoy the football on Monday and we'll see you on Tuesday. JK, as always, an absolute delight to spar with you for an hour.
I improved. I was a bit surly at the beginning, but
You hate losing, mate. I get it. Don't worry.
I do. Yeah. It doesn't. It gets worse.
Yeah.
The older I get.
It's like hangovers.
Everybody out there who's much younger than me, it gets worse. Yeah. Everybody listening, let me tell you.
Well, you know, it's like as Clayton can tell you. I know you're not a drinker, but you know, this is one thing they don't tell you when you're a kid, that the hangovers get worse the older you get. And it's a bit like losing to football. You're dead right.
I did tweet on after the Everton game. Was it Chelsea ruining weekends since forever?
1905.
Yeah, it's just extraordinary. It's just absolutely extraordinary. That horrible, horrible sinking feeling.
Oh.
It's ridiculous. And what's even worse for my poor wife is that there is another human being in this house who's now exactly the same. Yeah. We sit on the couch together. We just, you know.
Two surly blokes.
I suppose, thank goodness, my 12-year-old daughter isn't interested at all. Yeah. Are you watching the football, Daddy? Again? Yes.
But haven't you already watched it once? Isn't that enough? I get that from my wife sometimes. I have to say, and I think this is something that we can all relate to, I think it's a lot worse for us at the moment, because we're not there. We're having to watch it on TV. So there is no outlet. You know, when we go to the stadium, it's bloody annoying when you lose in the stadium. You storm off to the pub. By the time you've met everybody and had a few pints and got it out of your system and got all the moans out and the post-match analysis and you're getting a bit drunk and you're starting to giggle and then you start to talk about other things and then it all dissipates. And it's a very cathartic... That's the beautiful thing about going to the matches. There's that natural catharsis.
Told a mate of mine, a Fulham fan, that I was emotionally overcome by going, watching, just standing, looking at the ground by being there. And he went out, for goodness sake. He won the ballot for the Liverpool-Fulham-Liverpool game. And he went into the ground, burst into tears.
Yeah, I think I'll do it when I go back. But sadly, that won't be for a while. Right, we've got to go. As I said, join me, JK, Clayton and Martin Wickham on Tuesday, as we look back at the West Ham match and ahead to the Arsenal match on Boxing Day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chels. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.